artistic abilities of the past generations. These jewels are ever eternal. Hoda Lezgi for Iran.
Shines above, you're the reason I never give up. You're the one I try for, live my life for, give up all I have. You're the melody, you're the key, all the inspiration I need. And when times get tough, I know you'll stand by me. You are the love I need, the one who is God. And you know my destiny, for you are the light, and you are my life. Oh 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 oh. Side of my dreams, without you, where would I be? And although I feel like I'm a million miles away from home, I can lose all that I have. And when I feel the pain, I know that I can count on you. You are the love I need, the one who has guided me, and you know my destiny. For you are the love. And you are my life. Oh, 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 and you are my life. Oh, 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 oh. And you know my destiny, for you are the light, and you are my life. Oh, 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 and you are my life. Oh, 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 oh.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners from around the world. This is Iran Radio from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your presenter for the next hour. Here are some interesting facts about Islam. By the way, you're listening to Iran Radio. In Islam, the ink of the scholar is more holy than the blood of the martyr. There are an estimated 1.8 billion Muslims in the world, which is about 1.5% of the world's population. Due to the birth and conversion rates, Islam is considered to be the fastest growing religion in the world today. And on the continuation of Iran Radio, we start off this hour's programs with Spring of Truth. The program presents a selection of statements and speeches by the founding father of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khomeini. May Allah bless his soul. That will be followed by Around the World with reporters. Listen to fascinating reports from around the world as reporters tell us what is happening in their locality. And our final program this hour is The Teacher. The program presents key teachings and concepts in Islamic and Shia theology. Stay with us.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of Truth.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome back to the Spring of the Truth. And I'm over here, Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, your host. And we are going to discuss a beautiful quote today from Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
The Imam says, the country is now yours. When the country is yours, you must serve it just as if you are serving your own family. This is a beautiful quote which has a lot of rays in the religion of Islam as well. The Imam says, the country is now yours. It means it is your country. Think your country is your family. When you think about your family, you know that you have to provide it, you have to give all the basic necessities, you have to be good, you have to be kind. So there are many rules and regulations which Islam speaks out in regards to family and the family members. Likewise, if we consider a country to be a family example, then we are going to reach out. We are going to see where are the country's needs at the moment. Example, if the country is suffering from drought, I am going to save water. I'm not going to waste water. You are going to keep your country neat and clean. You don't litter and you don't vandalize your own home. You clean, you maintain and you protect it. Likewise, I'm going to protect my country. We have to maintain our country in the best manner possible if we consider that our country is our home. So over here when we say it is our home, it means that it is a shared home where we are all responsible for. So over here, we can say that the nation is a trust in our hands. Serve it with the same love and responsibility you reserve for your family. This is a very important thing, brothers and sisters. If we don't consider our nation to be a trust in our hands, then we are going to misuse it. In the religion of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pointed towards something which is very important, and that is haqqun nas, the rights of the people. And the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have pointed and given a lot of weight towards Baytul Mal, that is the treasury of the country, of the nation.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala.
Example, the money shouldn't be used in a wrong means. You must have heard about the story of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, where his brother comes to meet him and the Imam was the caliph of the time and he was writing something. It was dark night. So Aqil, his brother, comes to meet him. And when the Imam asks his brother, why have you come for? Is it a government duty or is it a personal thing? Then his brother says, Ya Mawlaya, I have a personal issue. Then the Imam does something which is eye-catching. He turns off the candle which was burning over there and he lights another one. His brother asks him, what are you doing? To which the Imam replies, the candle which was lit was from Baitul Mal, the treasury, the money of the people, and I don't want to waste it for my personal issue. Are we serving our nation in this manner? Another hadith from the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, that people are brother to each other. If they are not equal in faith, they are equal in being humans. So over here, the Imam points that we are all equal in one aspect, that is, in the humanistic form. So we have to respect our values towards each other. We have to care them. We can't just consider the fact that we are living in this world all by ourselves and everything is at our disposal.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
There was a spring of truth, a selection of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints.
Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
We want peace, but peace with sovereignty, peace with equality, peace with freedom. We do not want the peace of slaves, nor do we want the peace of colonies. Never colonies, never slaves.
The statements by the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro Moros, are in response to the multiple attacks facing the Bolivarian Republic. Maduro was addressing crowds of his supporters outside the presidential palace in Caracas. He warned that Venezuela will resist any attempt to impose a political change by force. Meanwhile, the national government denounced the theft of Citgo Petroleum Corporation by a U.S. court, together with sectors of the Venezuelan extreme right, as part of an operation to plunder the assets of the Venezuelan people.
La empresa Citgo es un valioso.
Citgo is a valuable asset of Petróleos de Venezuela, which the U.S. government intends to plunder by means of legal proceedings that are clearly contrary to law.
De un procedimiento judicial.
Precisely, the Venezuelan government previously denounced before OPEC that the Trump administration is attempting to provoke regime change in order to seize its assets and oil reserves, the largest in the world. For this reason, the National Assembly defends the national sovereignty over this resource and its industry.
But we in this caucus, all the parliamentarians here are going to vote in favor of this draft agreement because when the homeland is in danger, anything is permitted except not defending it.
The amount of resources that have been plundered from the country cannot be described at this time.
Parliamentarians, in line with the government and its defense of natural resources, approved this draft agreement that condemns the theft from the people orchestrated by the most radical and submissive opposition, as well as by the United States government and its multiple attacks on the Bolivarian Republic.
From all instances, Venezuela stands resolute to maintain its independence and to preserve its resources. Those are the premises that are the cornerstone of the Bolivarian Revolution and the current policies by the government facing new forms of attacks. Gladys Quesada, Caracas, Venezuela.
Today is the third and final day of that judicial review in this court. It's in fact a legal challenge brought by the direct action group Palestine Action against its prescription by the Labor government in July this year. Last month, the judges heard from the representatives of the Palestine Action group, but today, the final day, the judges are hearing from lawyers representing the Interior Ministry, known to Britons as the Home Office. But here's how we got here.
Set up in 2020, Palestine Action's stated goal is to end global participation in Israel's genocidal and apartheid regime. It's mainly targeted weapons factory, especially those belonging to the Israeli group Elbit Systems. In July this year, activists protesting against Israel's genocidal war on Gaza broke into an Air Force base in southern England, causing, the government claims, more than $9 million in damage to two aircraft. Days later, then-Home Secretary Yvette Cooper declared the group a terrorist entity, effectively making membership or support for the group a criminal offense. The ban took effect in July 5th.
It's a massive, massive overreaction and, frankly, an act of state repression to stop the people from mobilizing in a way that they feel is detrimental to their financial interests.
Seeing this as an attack on their civil liberties, thousands have since come out in a string of rallies, holding up signs reading these words. At least 2,300 have been arrested, more than 200 charged with offenses that carry up to 6 months in prison. Earlier this year, Palestine Action's co-founder, Huda Amouri, requested and won permission for a judicial review of the ban at this court, for the court to see if the ban was lawful, if the Home Office followed the correct procedure before proceeding to prescribe the group. In October, the government tried and failed to block the challenge going ahead. And last month, after days of nationwide sign-holding protests, the judicial review finally began. But at the last minute, Martin Chamberlain, the judge due to hear the legal challenge, was replaced by a panel of three judges without explanation. Two of those replacement judges have links that campaigners say raised the appearance of a conflict of interest.
The case against some of the most formidable foes in the world, the British state, the Israeli state, the weapons industry. These are not people who are going to take this lightly. So it doesn't surprise me that they're willing to sabotage the process.
Dame Victoria has familial links to prominent pro-Israel lobbyist and major Labor Party donor Trevor Chin and the group Quilliam, which has been widely condemned as Islamophobic and for supporting far-right agitator Tommy Robinson. And Justice Jonathan Swift, who dismissed WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange's extradition appeal back in 2023, has represented the Home Office, which is the defendant in this judicial review, on more than one occasion.
A judgment is expected at a later date, but if the judges in this court find in favor of Palestine action, the group could potentially be deproscribed. The charges against its many supporters will have to be dropped, and not only that, it'll be a huge embarrassment for the British government that the pro-Palestine demonstrators in the country accuse of participation in Israel's genocidal war on Palestinians. Saipur is up, London.
Pakistan's Defense Minister Khwaja Asif has said that Muslim countries should revisit their diplomatic stance on Gaza, arguing that incessant Israeli ceasefire violations have undermined peace efforts. His comments come as several regional governments express frustrations over the failure of internationally backed agreements to halt military operations. Officials in Islamabad say any reassessment would aim to push for a more reliable framework that prevents future breaches. The idea of a collective Muslim response has been gaining traction in recent weeks, particularly as the Gaza humanitarian concerns deepen.
Daily ceasefire violations are occurring by the Israeli forces, and Muslim Ummah needs to be united and have one solution with one voice, but they are not raising their voices against the Israelis.
Countries across West Asia have been consulting one another on possible political steps, including coordinated pressure through regional bodies. Observers say the broader question is whether Muslim-majority states can unify around a position strong enough to influence future negotiations. Pakistan's call reflects a wider debate over the limits of current mediation efforts. They point out any new approach would require consensus among key regional actors and a clearer mechanism for enforcing commitments on all sides and a more sustainable political roadmap for Gaza.
What will Israel do? Will it continue to violate the ceasefire? This is an existential question for all the countries who have agreed to this U.S.-backed solution. How long will they allow Israel to kill innocent Palestinian children? No, they will reconsider.
The debate points to a wider re-evaluation underway throughout the Muslim world, suggesting that Gaza's future may hinge on a new coordinated regional strategy that could reshape the way the conflict is addressed. Khanwa Muhyiddin, Islamabad.
The UN General Assembly officially established International Solidarity Day in 1977 to express its concern about the continuing plight of the Palestinian people.
Despite the ceasefire, it is still an ongoing genocide. So the special thing is we're trying to bring to the attention of the international community about the plight of the Palestinian people, not only the genocide in Gaza, but also the terror of the settlers in the West Bank.
Speakers stressed that the Palestinian people have not yet achieved their inalienable right as defined by the General Assembly, namely the right to self-determination and national independence, among other things.
The occupation has no moral limits, but during the past 2 years, the Palestinian people have shown their resistance, which made Israel a pariah state. This is what we celebrate on this day. The project for Palestinian nationhood will not come to an end because the Arab states support it.
Representatives and ambassadors from dozens of UN member states expressed their support for Palestine, while many criticized UN Security Council for its inaction to end the Gaza genocide. On November 17th, the Security Council adopted Resolution 2803, which endorsed US President Donald Trump's so-called peace plan for Gaza.
The document contains several deeply problematic elements. Israel's obligations as an occupying power, including the renunciation of annexation of Palestinian lands and the withdrawal of its forces, are not enshrined. Resolution 2803, adopted by the UN Security Council, does not vest it with the necessary prerogatives to maintain peace and security.
The United Nations Security Council, which would have the powers and the authority to take coercive measures against such extreme violations of international order and international law, has been paralyzed because what is written in its own charter, namely the veto right. In this particular case of mainly, not only, but mainly, I mean the veto privilege enjoyed by the United States.
The Day of Solidarity at UN concluded with a cultural program featuring the Palestinian choir, Shatat, screenings of Gaza documentaries and Palestinian cuisine.
The International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people at UN headquarters in Vienna concludes a series of events and demonstrations over the past days and weeks. Cultural events, diplomatic meetings and protests were well attended by representatives and people from around the world. However, diplomats from Western states remained largely absent from any shows of solidarity with the Palestinians. Dieter Reinisch, Vienna.
On the second leg of his first foreign trip as head of the Catholic Church, Pope Leo XIV is in Lebanon for a visit, which he said carries a message of peace.
At times, humanity looks at the Middle East with a sense of trepidation and disheartenment in the face of such complex and long-standing conflicts. Yet in the midst of these struggles, a sense of hopefulness and encouragement can be found when we focus on what unites us, our common humanity, and our belief in a God of love and mercy.
During an interreligious event at Martyrs Square in central Beirut, the Pope listened to representatives from many of Lebanon's 18 officially recognized religious denominations. The Shia cleric asked the Pope to advocate for an end to Lebanon's years-long struggle in the face of Israeli aggression.
We are believers of the significance of the authority of the state, but in its absence, we were forced to defend ourselves and face Israel, which invaded our land. It is not our hobby to take up arms or sacrifice our sons. We therefore put our cause in your hands with what you have of international influence. Perhaps the world can help us out of our crises, primarily the Israeli aggression and its impacts.
Outside the official gatherings, believers await Pope Leo on the main roads to catch a glimpse of the revered figure.
It's a good opportunity to see Pope Leon 14 in our country, and we pray with him for the peace in Lebanon and the Middle East.
The Pope is handling with him a message of peace, a message of love, a message of honor for the country. We are honored to be to him to be with us.
The Pope's recognition of the importance of Lebanon's religious pluralism is considered pivotal, especially at this juncture in time. At the same time, experts believe his visit will most probably not be helpful for Lebanon when it comes to tangible action.
The visit will end within 2 days, and I don't think it will have much impact. We might witness a rise of tension by the Israelis. This is what they have been threatening of, and all we can count on is the capacity of the resistance toward of threats. We don't have any other option. No calls for peace, no calls for normalization would have any effect with such a ferocious and criminal enemy such as Israel.
During his visit to Beirut, Pope Leo XIV has prayed for peace in Lebanon and the wider region. However, many fear that his visit is merely a show of symbolic solidarity, one that will neither halt the Israeli aggression against Lebanon, nor will it end the wave of U.S. intimidation targeting the political leadership. Mariam Saleh, Beirut.
For weeks, tensions in the Caribbean have been intensifying. The latest flashpoint came after President Donald Trump posted on his Truth Social account that Venezuelan airspace should be considered closed in its entirety. Venezuela quickly slammed the move. The country's foreign minister denounced the move, calling it a colonialist threat and an unjustified aggression against the people of Venezuela.
Venezuela denounces and condemns the colonialist threat that seeks to affect the sovereignty of its airspace, constituting an illegal and unjustified aggression against the people of Venezuela.
As tensions rise over Venezuelan airspace, Washington faces mounting criticism abroad and at home. Cuba and Iran joining condemning Washington's posture, but more is expected from neighboring countries whose silence so far has raised questions about how the region will respond to escalating U.S.-Venezuela tensions.
But, you know, I think most of the pressure lays on the shoulders of the neighboring countries, and that's to say Brazil, and that's to say also Colombia.
On Capitol Hill, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer issued a sharp warning accusing President Trump of reckless actions that could push America into another costly foreign war. He said, Americans are tired of endless foreign wars that cost the lives of countless American service members and drain precious resources. So what is Washington's goal? The U.S. claims its actions are aimed at fighting cartels and drug trafficking. But analysts argue the real objective is to force Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro from power, either through pressure or the threat of military force.
And so there's a lot already in the region, and if there's even more on top of that, then one would think either that capability is going to be used or it's all sort of trying to demonstrate to President Maduro that it's either you leave the regime now and perhaps dictate some terms that are somewhat agreeable, or there will be a full-scale military operation to unseat you.
The U.S. has a long history of intervention in Latin America and the Caribbean, from Panama to El Salvador to Cuba. Critics say the latest pressure campaign against Venezuela fits that pattern, with troops already positioned in the Caribbean and rhetoric heating up. This standoff is no longer just about Venezuela's skies. It's about whether America is prepared to risk a wider conflict in its own backyard.
Oh, my. once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program, The Teacher. Please stay with us.
What will we say in front of it?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an analysis on the most important Islamic teachings. I am Atta, the host of this program, Sheikh Danish and Sheikh Fadai. Two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom are in today's studio. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Danish. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, thank you.
And Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah.
So, how are you doing, Sheikh Fadai?
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
Sheikh Danish, what about you?
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you. Thank you very much for accepting my invitation to the program, The Teacher. And today we want to talk about a rather strange topic. Until you are not dead, you cannot experience it. And that is separating the soul from the body. In the Arabic terminology, we call it qabza ruh. This is to taking away human lives at the time of death. Or in fact, taking away the soul from the body. For those who are disbelievers, this must be absolutely, we can say, a kind of a strange topic because they don't believe in the concept of soul or spirit or something like that. But for the believer society, this is always the question, Sheikh Danish, that how is it going to take place and what does it mean by qabza ruh? Is there anyone outside this realm, I mean this world, to take soul away? Do we understand it? How does the mechanism work?
Right. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. All topics related to the afterlife, right, are related to us and told to us in the ahadith, the verses of the Holy Quran. And of course, because this is information or this is knowledge that is from the divine sources, right?
That's right.
So from the Holy Quran, we have several verses of the Holy Quran that specifically speak about the concept of taking away the soul. Sometimes
right.
It has been referred that God takes away the soul. The word in the Holy Quran that comes at this point is tawaffiya, or Allahu tawaffal anfus.
Uh-huh.
So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that takes the souls
away
of the human beings when they die. But
okay.
Sometimes it is referred to as the angel of death takes away the soul.
But at the end of the day, the angel is also the agent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes,
okay,
and
that's right.
So we reconcile these verses of the Holy Quran regarding Allah or the angel of death or other angels,
mm-hmm.
as because these angels don't have any will of their own.
All right.
So whenever they take away the soul of a believer or a non-believer, they are taking it with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
And so this concept is specifically spoken about in the religious terminology, in the ahadith. We have several ahadith that speak about how you can make the moment of death more peaceful for the deceased
and
or
easy experience,
the person
right.
who is experiencing
okay.
death. So several recommendations also. So when we go into the depth of this topic,
yes.
all of these things are going to come. But as you mentioned,
okay.
that for the believing person, this is an important moment. And even in the verses of the Holy Quran or the Ahadith, this is a concept that is spoken of frequently.
That's right. Okay. So for sure there is a moment that something called the soul or the spirit will be separated from the body, okay,
yes.
at the time of death. Okay. And the owner, I mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who himself created this, and as we read in the Holy Quran, he blown into the human body from the, we can say his soul or something like that, is now going to take it away. But would it be a different experience, Sheikh Fadai, for different people this time of separation? Because it seems that, okay, we all die at the end of the day, but is it going to be different death for different people?
Yes, of course. First of all, I want to say a short introduction about that,
okay.
taking the soul. You know, we should notice that the main part and characteristics of being or existence is soul, not the body. You know, we are our souls. Mm-hmm. The one who exists is the soul. The body is like a means, like a car.
All right.
For example, when you travel by your car, the one who is traveling is not your car.
Mm-hmm.
It's you.
All right.
You are the one who travels, but your car is a means of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
The main one is the person. Soul is like that. Body is just a means of transportation.
Very good.
The one, the being, is the soul. When God takes the soul out of the body, this one doesn't die as we understand the meaning of death.
All right.
When we use the verb die,
mm-hmm.
or the noun death,
yes.
in our mind, we consider the meaning of destroy,
mm-hmm.
or perish.
Yes.
No, it is not kind of destroying something.
The end to everything, that's right.
End
okay.
of your car.
Uh-huh.
God just take your car
mm-hmm.
and gives you another car.
All right.
Change your vehicle. Yes.
Okay, that's right.
Let me give you another example. For example, a butterfly, before it is a butterfly, it's a worm
mm-hmm.
in a cocoon.
Yes.
In a cover.
Yes.
And when the cover destroyed, so the one who continues to exist is the butterfly.
All right.
So he's not destroyed.
Okay.
Now it is free to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the soul out of the body is the beginning of the life,
mm-hmm.
not end of the life.
Very good.
You know, we are eternal being. For example, you know, usually because we are material, we have material body, material life.
A materially orientation.
Yeah, we cannot
right.
understand
okay.
The meaning of eternal.
Yes, eternity.
Yes,
that's right.
Imagine that is 1 million years.
All right.
Imagine.
Okay.
to make it easy to understand.
All right.
Consider. So when I when I'm going to have 1 million year age
uh-huh.
or life. So here I just experienced about 70 or 80,
I know what you mean.
90 years
yes.
old. And after that, I am alive as long as eternity.
Okay.
God just take this soul for out of this cocoon
mm-hmm.
and make me a butterfly.
That's right.
To continue my life. But okay. yes, this taking is different.
All right.
We have different kinds of taking
all right.
the cover.
All right.
And that continuous part of life
okay.
is different.
Okay. So as you say, soul is eternal.
Yes.
So and based on our character, our nature, because we are soul related, we are spiritual characters. So we have to experience a kind of eternal life because the body cannot tolerate such long life. Okay.
Yes.
For example, 1 billion years, as you called it. Okay. So now the major question is that why in our hadith and also Quran we read that this soul taking might be difficult for some people and easy for some others, Sheikh Danish?
Yes. So as I mentioned earlier, that the ahadith speak about this topic also, that for the believers and even believers who are closer to Allah subhanahu wa
yes.
ta'ala, their soul taking would be easier. And for those who are disbelievers or they are not at the same level of iman as the other believers, there might be some punishment for
yes.
them, or at the time of their death, they might feel more pain as compared to the other believers. So we have in the riwayas regarding the Anbiya or the prophets that when the angel of death comes to the prophets, he takes their permission to take away their soul.
Uh-huh.
So in the riwayas, we have that when Israel came to take the life of the Holy Prophet, he took the permission of the Holy Prophet and even spoke with Lady Fatima Tuz-Zahra,
okay.
salamullah alayha, at that
mm-hmm.
time.
All
right. Right. So there is a decorum that we see here. There is adab, as we say in
yes,
Farsi.
Yes, the etiquettes. That's right.
Etiquettes.
That's right.
Etiquettes are there for the high level of believers who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
But even for ordinary believers, we have riwayas that even regarding the ziyarah of Imam Raza alayhi salam,
mm-hmm.
we have it. That if you perform the ziyarah of Imam Raza alayhi salam, he will come to you
all
at
right.
three stages
uh-huh.
In your journey towards the afterlife.
All right.
And one of them is at the time of death.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this mentioned in the riwayas.
So being a believing person in this world will make death a type of easy experience for you.
Yes.
Because the very separation of the soul from the body
is really a difficult one.
It's, of course, a painful process.
A painful process, yes. That's right. Okay.
So in itself, even if it was not the case that a person was not a good believer, even then the process is painful. Uh-huh. But for the believers and the prophets and the near ones, it would be made easier
for you
by the angels, and the process of death would become easier.
Mm-hmm.
It is as if that a person is going to meet his friend.
Uh-huh.
So we have in the riwayas that Prophet Abraham, to him the angel of death came, and Prophet Abraham asked the angel that, does God want to see his prophet dead?
Uh-huh.
And does God want to see his friend dead? Because Prophet Ibrahim was the Khalilullah.
Yes. Yes.
Right, he was a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angel went and returned.
All right.
And asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ibrahim is asking you that, do you want to see your friend dead? And the reply came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, does Ibrahim not want to meet his friend?
Uh-huh.
Right? And so this is the essence of it is that the believers, it is a meeting between friends.
Mm-hmm.
And
so, it becomes an easy, sweet experience.
Yes.
For those who are, we can say, dying in bed, we can say, as the believers.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
Can you give us a clear picture of what happens, you know, exactly on that time, Sheikh Fadai? So it, because picturing it is really difficult, okay?
Yeah.
It's not a movie by the same token, okay?
I want to continue to complete this puzzle.
All right.
With the help of my
friend. Butterfly puzzle, that's right.
we are putting the parts of puzzle together.
Together, that's right.
You know, we have a hadith from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that taking away the souls of people are in different kinds. Some people, they feel like smelling a flower.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel when you smell a flower?
Very
you
good.
Don't tolerate any hardship.
Yes.
You just enjoy.
Yes.
And it's just maybe 1 second, one moment.
Yes.
For some people, this is like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for other people in the hadith we have, taking the soul is like taking out the skin of a person or animal alive, like peeling.
Peeling his skin,
like
peeling
skin while he is alive or she is alive.
All right.
It's like that.
Okay.
So now the question is that why? Why should we experience different kinds of taking the soul? You know, in this world, we are experiencing an examination. You know, this world is a field of race. We have in Quran different verses that call this world a race. وَالصَّابِقُونَ الصَّابِقُونَ
mm-hmm.
Or سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفَرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ سَابِقُوا or مُسَابِقَ means competition, race. So here in this world, we are in a race. This race is a kind of examination.
Mm-hmm.
So God wants to check us. How do we use our freedom? How do we act? Do we act according to the rules of God or not?
Mm-hmm.
So when we commit sins, it means that we are passing the borders of God.
That's right.
Committing sin is that. So this one, the sinner should be cleared.
All right.
So how? There are five stages of clearing or cleaning the sins, the dirt of the sin. The first stage is the problems of this world.
Mm-hmm.
When we are alive here, we face lots of problems. Most of the problems are because of our sins.
Yes.
Because God loves me, gives me a lot of problems to tolerate that
mm-hmm.
and clean my sins.
All
this
right.
is the first stage.
Very good.
The second stage is related to our issue, taking the soul away.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even a mu'min one, will experience a very, very hard kind of soul taking.
All right.
In order to clean his sin.
Uh-huh.
It's a kind of punishment. It is. I don't want to deny.
It's a kind of purifying process. That's right.
In order not to get him to the hell.
The hellfire.
That jail.
Right. Okay.
This is the second stage. The third stage is the punishment or azab in grave.
Uh-huh.
We have different kind of hadith about azab al-qabr.
Yes.
So the mu'min will experience punishment in grave in order, again, to be clean.
Uh-huh.
You know, according to our sins, as much as we have, the more sin we have, the more stages of cleaning we experience.
All right.
The fourth step is when we get out of the grave, uh-huh. the ba'ath, or qiyamah. When we get out, وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثَرَتْ, we have in Quran. When
yes.
the graves are open mm-hmm. and we come out of the grave and we stand in front of God to answer before God, that day is very hard. But for real mu'min, those who don't have any sin, on that day they don't have any hardship.
All right.
But again, for us as sinners, again, for the fourth stage, we tolerate and mm-hmm. we face hardship. And the last one, is contemporary existence in the hell.
Uh-huh.
You know, people can get out of the hell, but
right.
not from the heaven.
Uh-huh.
Some people, the one who has a lot of sins and didn't clean in these four stages
mm-hmm.
before hell,
all right.
they go into the hell, and after they are cleaned, they can get out of the hell, and they go to the heaven, and God will clear their memory. They
uh-huh.
do not remember that once they were in the heaven.
In the
hell.
World and the hell
so
and
so
sinning.
What we're talking
right.
about, that taking soul or soul taking, is the second part of cleaning our sins.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes this experience is a hard one for a mu'min one.
Yes, yes.
Why? Because God loves him. And
yes.
sometimes vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
A kafir one, a sinner one, enemy of God, he has a very easy soul taking. Why? Because God wants to punish him, not here, but in the hell.
In the hellfire, that's right. Okay. But for a moment, for sure, if the soul taking is a difficult experience, that would be a start and the end of purification
yes.
process. And after
it's
that...
It's exactly a kindness.
Because we know that the barzakhi life also has its own atmosphere, you know?
Yes,
when we
course.
Are dead, okay? So when the soul is taken away, so these souls are going to live somewhere.
The experience.
Yeah, and the experience. So we can say, and your imaginal body in the barzakhi world is very much affected by your deeds in this world. So that's...
Well, we have a hadith, Al-Ghabru imma rawdatun min
rawd
al-jannah,
al-khufratun
min khufar al-niran.
Wow.
The grave either is one garden from the gardens of heaven
okay.
or a hole from the holes of hell.
Wow.
So this is the next stage after
okay.
the soul taking.
All right. You really scare us, yeah? You know, by telling all these secrets.
That
okay.
is our future.
That is our future, inshallah. Yeah, we have to be ready for that moment by moment in
and
our life.
Now we are working for that future.
Yeah, inshallah. Okay, Sheikh Danish, your final remarks. Anything missed?
Yes, yeah, very nice elaboration. And so we can see that in Islam, we have these stages in life,
mm-hmm.
as my brother mentioned. That this life is just a small portion of
yes.
our real life.
Mm-hmm.
So the real life that awaits us is the life of the barzakh, and the moment of death is an aperture or the entry point to that life of the barzakh.
All
and
right.
so we have so many riwayas, so many of the traditions that
That's
speak
right.
about that life.
Okay.
And in order for us to be better prepared for that life, we have to basically follow the do's and don'ts of religion.
Yes.
And that is the best entry point to the next world for all of us, inshallah.
Very good, inshallah. Doing our salat on time, doing fasting,
yes.
doing salat al-rahim, you know, and also doing anfaq and being kind to your parents. These are the shortcuts in order to have an easy, we can say, death and soul-taking. Inshallah, we can struggle in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing His obligations and also some of the recommendations that are in Islam to have an easy soul-taking. Not our skills to be peeled, Shaykh Fadai, but smelling a flower, you know, as you called it, nice resemblance like a butterfly, just freeing from this world and going to meet
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Inshallah, we hope that all the people, all the believers all across the world, we have an easy list and not a difficult one, and meet their ultimate creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you much, dear listeners. For any information or more information, please visit our website, iranradio.ir. Also send us your questions and comments at iranradio@sinairabi.ir email. So, till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Good evening to all of our listeners. This is Iran Radio from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. We start with our evening news bulletin that will be followed by today's special, a special daily mix format program that deals with various Islamic and Iranian occasions. And to round up this hour's programs, we have our radio productions feature. Stay with us for the next hour.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel has carried out fresh attacks on Gaza as it keeps violating the ceasefire agreement with Hamas. Iran's UN ambassador says unilateral coercive measures amount to crimes against humanity and violate international law. And new survey shows workplace morale has fallen among US diplomats under the Trump administration. Welcome. You've tuned into World News Live from Tehran with me, Zainab Zakaria. Thank you so much for joining us. The Israeli military continues to violate the Gaza ceasefire by carrying out strikes in the war-ravaged territory. The southern city of Khan Yunis saw new attacks, including artillery fire. Israeli naval forces also opened fire on the coast of Khan Yunis. In Gaza City, airstrikes hit the Tel Tufar neighborhood. Fresh attacks were also reported in Beit Lahia and Al-Maghazi refugee camp. Medical sources in Gaza's